Happy Mother's Day, everyone. All the moms, we're so thankful that you're here. We have wonderful things for you today. As you know, Mother's Day is very big in this church. And so just be in for a real wonderful surprise. But before we do all of that, I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalms 128. And today I want to talk about I labeled this happiness. I want to talk about happiness today. So turn with me to the book of Psalms 128, and I'll just read six verses of scripture there. All right. Good to see you guys. See, a whole clan is over here, the Sagadraga clan. Psalms 128, here's what it says. As the children of Israel, they were headed towards the temple to worship. They wrote these songs, and one of the songs went like this. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Now, there seems to be a general assumption that's prevalent in the world today in regards to Christianity, that somehow being a Christian is difficult. Have you heard that before? Therefore, Christians will modify or have the tendency to modify their claims when it comes to being a believer. So they will say, I'm just an ordinary Christian, and that any attempt of being a serious believer is looked upon as saintly or even self-righteous. However, this is not true. Say this with me. I am special. Not just the moms today, but everybody. Say it again. I am special. I am not ordinary. Being a Christian is what we were created for. Now, Psalms 128 is a testimony of this truth, that being a Christian is not difficult. Let me say that again. I don't know if it's probably like me. My appetite is starting to go, because I know it's Mother's Day and we got a lot of good stuff for us today. And so I'm kind of like going ahead of myself. But this is important. So I have to be able to say this to you. Being a Christian is not difficult. And that being a non-Christian is difficult. As a matter of fact, being a non-Christian is excruciatingly difficult. Notice here that I did not say that we will not face or be introduced to difficulties in life. We know that life is hard. However, if you think being a Christian is difficult, try being a non-Christian. The anatomy of Psalms 128 goes like this. The key observation is that there are three promises in the beginning and then three pronouncements at the end. The blessings are these. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. Verse 1, you will eat the fruit of your labor. Verse 2, blessings and prosperity will be yours. These are blessings that are given to people who believe in God. And then there are also pronouncements. There are three of them. One found in verse 5, may the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. And verse 6, may you live to see your children's children. Sandwiched by an illustration of blessings found in verses 3 and 4. That all adds up to a good or to a great life. Scripture is a documentary of God's blessings to his people. We see that in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 28, in God's creation of man, the Bible says that God blessed them. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, God blesses Abraham and he tells him, I will make of you a great nation, I will bless you. In Genesis 49, the 12 tribes of Israel were blessed. Also David and others in the Old Testament. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount on chapter 8, there are key quotations in the believer's life and it announces that each one with the word blessed. Blessed in verses 1 and 2 is the word ashrei, and it describes a sense of happiness and wholeness that comes from living in good relationship with God. And so what happens is this, in verse 4 and 5, we even see the word barak, which means it describes what God does as he shares his abundant life with us in a relationship of salvation. So being blessed is not a matter of having a good day, because God knows we have bad days. Being blessed is not a matter of having a good day, not an occasional run of luck. I love what Johannes Peterson said when it comes to happiness. He says this, it is an inner strength of the soul and the happiness it creates. The vital power without which no living being can exist. Happiness cannot be given to a person as something lying outside him. Say this to your neighbor, you can't make me happy. Wow, what a downer, huh? The action of God does not fall outside, but at the very center of the soul. That which it gives us is not something external, but the energy, the power of creating it. The blessing thus comprises the power to live in its deepest and most comprehensive sense. Nothing which belongs to action and to making life real can fall outside the blessing. Blessing is the vital power without which no living being can exist. So in other words, when it comes to being happy, there's only one source of happiness, and that's God. People can't make people happy. How many of you have ever been disappointed with that? There are the effects of blessing. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Look at what happens here. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Look at that. Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. In other words, in the midst of hardship, there is happiness. Being a believer or a disciple or being blessed is not a reduction of what we already are. It's not a subtraction from what we are used to. Rather, being a believer is an expansion of our capacity so that we overflow with joy. Are you seeing that? In the midst of hardship, there is joy and there's blessings and there's happiness there. Only a Christian can understand that. The world can't understand that. How can you be happy when you're mourning? How can you be happy when you're being persecuted? Where I work at FedEx, the guys that work there are pretty rough. And sometimes they say words that make you feel like you're persecuted. Maybe you work in environments like that. Especially ones who work, for instance, in warehouses. My goodness, they tell you straight up what they think of you. By the end of the day, how many of you have ever felt like your energy just drained and that this day is not going well? Well, guess what? Not so with a believer, because in the midst of that, there is joy. Being a Christian or being a disciple is not a reduction or a subtraction of what you had, and then therefore life is hard. It's actually an expansion of our capacities for joy. It's interesting to me, in the book of Psalms 128, verse 3, I'm not a mom, but here it says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Now, understand this, that this passage of scripture is poetic. So if you're a man reading this, you're not going to have children. It doesn't mean that you'll have a variety of children that everybody else will have, like the Brady Bunch kind of thing. It has nothing to do with that in today's society. Being fruitful or having children in those days meant you were blessed, that God gave you favor, and so forth. And so here, it is not that we have more children. However, it's inherent to blessing. It's the ability to increase in whatever things that we do. So in other words, in the midst of this life, which we call Christianity, God blesses you so much in abundance that you just keep growing and growing and increasing and increasing. I think sometimes the problem is we underestimate what God has done or what God can do. And so we put ourselves down also when it comes to the Christian life. My goodness, you're a believer. Well, no, I'm just an ordinary Christian. You're so blessed. Yeah, you know, well, yeah, it's, I'm not special. I'm like you. As a matter of fact, we're not like the world. We're blessed. Are you understanding this? You are blessed. You are blessed more than your neighbors. You're blessed more than the person who doesn't follow God. You're blessed more than that. Well, I don't have the yacht, but you're blessed. I don't have the BMW that they have, but you're blessed. You're more blessed than they are, if we're talking about material stuff, right? Not only are we blessed in that, but we also have the power to increase the blessings that God has given us. So the first lesson is this: happiness does not come from people. It comes from Him. Because happiness is not something that's given to you from the outside. Happiness is what grows from the inside. In the midst of this, the Bible teaches us that we will face difficulties. During the ancient times, the Christians summarized the threat of difficulties. The world, the flesh, the devil. The world speaks of the society of proud, arrogant humankind that defies and eliminates God's rule and presence in the world. The flesh speaks of the corruption that sin has introduced into our very appetites and instincts. And the devil tempts and seduces us away from the will of God. Difficulties are present around the Christian. However, the difficulties are always external. The problem is we internalize these difficulties. And so we're no better because we're not holding on to the promises that God has given us in the first place. Are you there? The difficulties are there. When the rain falls, it falls on the righteous and the wicked, the Bible says, right? So no matter what, we'll face difficulties. But the difference between us should be the fact that we don't allow those difficulties to take internal presence. We leave the difficulties where it belongs, and it should be where? On the outside. There's only one thing that should be living inside. What is that? Happiness. Oh, Pastor, I don't know what in the world are you talking about. Happiness does not come from the outside. It comes from what? The inside. Who placed it there? Who made it grow? God did. When He permeated yourself, your inner self, or your spirit, that brought joy there. It's a new way of understanding. It's a new way of living. And so what happens is that this joy comes from the inside out. And so therefore, the difficulties should never be allowed to go inside. It should be treated the way it should be, which is outside. Is it making any sense to you? Don't allow the external difficulties to permeate the inside. Why? Because it doesn't belong there. Nudge your neighbor and say, it doesn't belong there. Some people, they go to a point where they invite the difficulties to go in the inside. Are you there? I'm just trying to say what the word says in regards to this. Because I loved what my brother said to me yesterday. We were talking and he was giving me advice, and we were talking about the economies, we were talking about trends, we were talking about all these things. And you know, I'm thinking about the church, And he said this, he said, Fern, I don't believe in any of those statistics. I have my own statistic. The economists say that the economy is bad. I don't go by that statistic. I go by his word. I go by his truth. Listen, don't allow the world to tell you what you can and can't do and what you can and can't accept. One out of every four women that lives in this country are suffering from depression. Christian and non-Christian. And so therefore, because of that statistic, therefore it must be true that Christians or non-Christians or women in general must be depressed. Men, we're not doing any better. It's one out of every five. The other time we just go fishing or watch the Lakers lose. Pacquiao gets knocked out. Then we go into major depression then. Are you there? We don't have to accept that as believers because the word does not talk about that. The fight begins when we are tempted to have the outside influences to permeate our hearts. That's when the fight begins. Because the whole world says that you're not special. The world says that you're ordinary. The world will even go as far as, because of the fact that you're a Christian, therefore you're even more ordinary than ordinary. You're narrow-minded. You're not only ordinary, but you're narrow-mindedly ordinary. You don't have what it takes because you got tunnel vision. You're not open to what we do in the world. What's so funny is that the statistics in this world says that we're just going to hell in a handbasket anyway. And so our way of thinking is very pragmatic. It doesn't affect me now, so therefore, right down the line, it shouldn't affect society. Well, look at society in general. We're celebrating a wonderful Mother's Day here, and I just said that you go in different parts of the world and they're not celebrating Mother's Day because women are not even considered citizens. There are 163 million more males in the Far East than women. Trafficking because of lack of women. The rich, they can't even get married. They don't have brides for their sons. And so as early as 9 years of age, they're being engaged to be married. Where did all the women go? Be careful when you allow society statistics, things that are not true as far as the Word of God. Be careful before you accept them and hold them as, yeah, that's the way life is, because it's not. Say this with me. I am special. Now say it like you mean it. I am special. I am not ordinary. We are in a battle. Eugene Peterson says that, but the way of faith itself is in tune with what God has done and is doing. The road we travel is the well-traveled road of discipleship. I like that. I like that. In other words, have you ever heard this? Maybe parents have said this to their children. Well, son, hey, daughter, you know what? Find your own way. And when you get out there, man, just go and just give it all you got. And so we see kids flailing at life. They're just going for it. They don't even know what they're going for. They're just headed. And then there's no path, so they make a path. I am woman, hear me roar kind of thing. It's a man's world, so therefore I'm going to do this. Have you seen that? Well, the Christian path is a well-traveled path. People have gone there before. You don't get lost. There's no searching party that comes looking for you. Joy, it's not like Angeles Crest. You get lost out there. This path is well-traveled. For thousands of years, people have traveled that road, and they've found the secret to life. The road we travel is the well-traveled road of discipleship. It is not a way of boredom or despair or confusion. It is not a miserable groping, but a way of blessing. And so, what do we need to be blessed? Ask your neighbor, what does it mean then? What does it take to be blessed? What does it take to be blessed? Go ahead. Speak among yourselves. What does it take to be blessed? It's not very lofty. I'm sorry that my answer is not very high up there. What do we need to be blessed? Simply this. Be a Christian. Huh? I think I missed that, Pastor. What did you say? I don't hear very well with this right ear. What does it take to be blessed? Be a Christian. Follow Jesus. What does it take to be blessed? I just took up a course, Pastor, in meditation, and I paid a lot of money for my... And I... To be blessed, I married the... to be blessed, I sacrificed. What does it take to be blessed? Be a Christian. Be a follower of Jesus. It's that easy? You mean it's not difficult to be blessed in life? To fear the Lord means to have reverence and awe. If you're looking at a road and that road only goes north, that means that every direction will have obstacles. Because the road only goes north. Every other direction is no road at all. I don't know. You guys are probably thinking about the food more than I am. If the road is going north, follow me. If the road is going north, right, and you see that road and it's only going into this one direction, north, why in the world do you want to go this way or that way? There are no roads there. Why do you make it difficult for yourselves if the road is paved and it's only going in this direction? My mom was here. She was a lawyer, and she's downright legalistic. Follow the road, anak. What is the matter with you? Are you crazy? She would say. If the road is paved and it's only going in one direction, why in the world, Rob, would I go this way? To start my own road? Are you there? Do I want to get my machete and start a road in the jungle, not knowing where it's going to lead? But you know this, it's not going to lead the right way because this is the way. I think we make Christianity so hard, don't we? We give all kinds of roads. I'm talking about pastors from the pulpit. We give you all kinds of directions to go on all kinds of roads. Maybe you need to read the Bible more. Maybe you need to pray more. Maybe you need to attend Mother's Day services at Water of Life Ministries. There's a road. Maybe we need to bring more coffee. Maybe not no coffee. Maybe tea. Maybe we should have a better facility. Maybe a bigger one. Maybe a smaller one. Maybe an intimate one. There's all these kinds of roads. I think we make things complicated. Religion makes things complicated. And all along, all we need is Christ. H.H. Farmer gave this statement, and I thought it was very telling. If you go against the grain of the universe, you get splinters. I like it. I think it says it all. You just go against the grain of the universe, you'll pick up stuff. Have you ever had splinters? Don't you hate those? Especially the ones that are like in between the creases and it hides there. I pick up wooden pallets at FedEx, so I have to wear gloves. But sometimes my gloves are worn out. So one crazy splinter just goes in between there. And the whole day it just bothers you because you can't do this. And then you're trying to pluck it and you're looking for a needle so you can remove the splinter. The reason for that is because I go against the grain. I actually thought, oh, it's nothing. Oh, my goodness, it's there. Why make things more difficult when God has already paved the way? He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Jesus came to give us life, according to the book of John, chapter 10, and to have that life to the full. So moms, this is my message, not only to you, but to the church in general. We need to be happy. Happiness does not come from the outside in. Happiness comes from the inside out. And the one who permeates the heart is God. And therefore, when He's there, we're no longer ordinary. We're blessed. Amen. Would you stand as we conclude today? Would you close your eyes, heads bowed? No one looking around, please. I believe that today the Lord wants to bring us into good footing. He wants to take us on the right road. If you're here today and life has been difficult, oh yeah, you find relief here and there, but generally you see life as being difficult. And today you're saying, Lord, would you set me on the right path? I just want to go north. I just want to go to that well-traveled road. I don't want to be making my own road. I just want to be blessed simply because you promised it in your word. And this is how you deal with your children. You want to bless them. If that's you today, I want you to raise your hand. Keep your eyes closed, please. Heads bowed. No one looking around. Say, Pastor, that's me. I want to go on that well-traveled road. I just want to follow Jesus like that. It's that simple. I want to be blessed today. Would you raise your hands? Because I believe that God will deal with you today. Father, you see these hands, oh God. And Lord, we need guidance from you. We ask, oh Father, oh Lord, that you would permeate our hearts today with your presence. That somehow, oh Lord, happiness, oh God, will come from you. And that, Father, we would be able, oh Lord, to not only share that, but that, Father, we would live that life. That true believers, oh Lord, are happy people. I pray, oh God, that you give us strength. I pray, oh Lord, that your countenance, your presence, oh Lord, would always be seen by us. I pray, oh God, that we would always recognize you wherever you're at. Guide us, oh Father, to look more towards you. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.